Right, a very good morning to you listening to Michelle Ward on Phoenix 98FM here with Eat My Brunch. Now, I'm joined in the studio by Malcolm Big, Chair of Brentwood Diabetics Group, and Robin Maynard, who is also on the committee. They're here to talk about a Family Fun Day, which is taking place at the Bay Tree Centre in Brentwood on Saturday the 10th of September between 10 and 4 o'clock. You've got health screenings, live music, cartoon characters, walkabout foods, competitions, prizes and loads more, and all the money raised will be going to Diabetes UK. Good morning, boys.
Morning.
We've been having a good old chat off here.
Certainly have.
We're in a bit of an epidemic in the UK at the moment with the amount of sugar in its hidden sugars in food, and it's to really to let people know. We'll talk about the fun day in a minute, but with diabetes, it is one of those things where people say, well, if I was diabetic, I just won't have any sugar in my tea and I won't eat sweets. It isn't just about that. It affects everything you drink, and it affects everything you eat. You're both diabetic. Tell us about your stories of how you discovered. Was it from early on in life, or has it been later in life that you got diagnosed?
Well, I'm type 2, and most people who get type 2 diabetes, it occurs at the age of, say, 40 plus. I mean, some Eastern Europeans, it occurs earlier. Mine was a curious one because I was sitting watching what used to be called Play for Today on BBC television years and years ago, and it was about a man who had diabetes, and he was talking to his friend about the symptoms, and I'm sitting there saying, yeah, I've got that, yes, I do that. And in particular, after lunch, I used to fall asleep at my desk, and I never cottoned on. I just thought I was just tired, you know, just not getting enough sleep. But I went down to my doctor and said to him, I think I've got diabetes. And of course, he said, yeah, I'll be the judge of that, you know. Yeah. Did the test and said, yes.
Yes, you did.
You have. Which came as quite a shock.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
and
that's...
And that was the only symptom? You didn't have...
No. I when I look back at it, I had all the symptoms that came up. I mean, one, I was tired, obviously. That's,
yeah.
But what happens, again, if you eat foods containing sugar, then you tend to get more tired and you fall asleep. But I used to work from home, and I'd wake up suddenly when the phone rang at 3 o'clock. I was asleep at the desk, just falling asleep. But also the another symptom is being thirsty. Well, you know, a million people just go up and have a drink of something and don't even think about it. You also tend to urinate more because the body wants to get rid of the sugar, so it's sent it out through your water system. So all these, I had these symptoms. But you don't really think about it. You just think, oh, I'm thirsty, I'll have a drink.
Yeah.
But when you put them all together, you suddenly realise, yes, I had those symptoms, and I'd had those symptoms probably for about 2 years.
Mm.
And a lot of people go on for about 10 years before they realise they've got diabetes.
And Robin, what about yourself?
Well, it was quite strange, actually. That was about 25, 30 years ago. Went to the doctors, didn't actually think about it, had a blood test. When I went for a checkup, back to check, he said, you've got diabetes, and I'd not really got any symptoms at all.
Mm.
And I said, what do I do now? And in those days, it was quite, they weren't set up the way they are today.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, well, he said, just be careful what you eat and make it salads most of the time sort of thing, which I thought was a bit, and it was very limited information. And I didn't really take it very seriously until some years later when obviously it started to go down. And then, you know, I was beginning to get more symptoms. And subsequently, you know, I've had numb feet and I've had eye problems and I've had cataracts in my eyes, all result of diabetes. And I'm on tablets now. I'm type 2 again.
Yeah.
But I'm on type tablets and what have you. So my regime now has grown from sort of nothing years ago to quite a heavy regime of pills to try and keep it down. And I'm pleased to say that my signs are that he's going down and he's under control. But that's what happened to me. I really didn't know.
So you have type 1, which is the injection, and type 2 is tablet.
In principle, type 1 is where the pancreas has stopped working, which can occur at any age. Mm. I mean, so we have children in school at the age of 4 who have diabetes. Very sad for them. They live with it the rest of their lives.
Yep.
There's no cure for it at the moment. But type 2 is where the pancreas isn't working as well, or where the body begins to have an insulin resistance.
Yeah.
So you need to take tablets to counteract that resistance. As I said, that normally occurs later in life, quite often caused by excess sugar in in your diet, but that isn't the only cause. We still don't really know the cause of diabetes. They're still researching. Lots of money being spent. But it's the main principle is that you've got too much sugar floating around your bloodstream, and it just deposits itself in every single organ you can think of in your body. And it is causing deterioration in every organ. And those organs ultimately will fail because of it.
Now, this isn't one of the things that you can ignore if you think you're diabetic or you are diabetic. As you know, I read a story, I think it was last week or the week before, about amputations. Now, I don't want to scare people, because some people are like, well, I don't want to know. I just don't want to, well, that's not the way to do it with diabetes, because as soon as you know, you can actually do something about it and live a normal life. If you cook from scratch, you don't have so much of a problem. But if you eat a lot of processed food, it's very difficult, so there's sugars everywhere. Amputations in the UK, because of diabetes, has gone through the roof, because people are not following or adhering to the dietary requirements that they should be, and it's ending up with, you know, because you end up with problems with your feet, as you were saying, toes go, fingers, things like that.
If you look at the statistics on it, 10% of the whole National Health Service budget, which is £10 billion a year, is spent on diabetes. And they reckon that 80% of that, in other words, £8 billion, could be avoided if diabetes was managed correctly, managed by the individual, managed by the doctors. It isn't being managed, and that's mainly down to educational ignorance. They're not being taught.
Tell us about the food. Tell us about the foods, because it is one of those things we think, well, I'm diabetic, I just won't have any. I won't have any sweets. It isn't as simple as that, and it isn't about just living on salads either. Because there's, we were saying, carbohydrates are the things that turn into the sugar in your blood.
It's carbohydrate that creates sugar in your blood system, and even if you look at food labels, it's misleading, because it says on the back of it, it says carbohydrates, of which 1% is sugar. Well, that's okay, but all carbohydrate will ultimately turn to sugar, and that's a figure you've got to look at, the total carbohydrate content in a food, not just the sugar content. And any sugar, whether it be in potatoes, in pasta, in bread, they all contain, I mean, one slice of bread will turn into 3 teaspoons of sugar. It's enormous when you think, wow, all right, you've got to have some in a day. Don't get me wrong, you're not talking about only needing one or two. No, you need in the teens of teaspoons a day. But we don't eat in the teens. We eat in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 100s. You know, one can of ordinary Coke's got 17 teaspoons of sugar in. I mean, it's you can drink in that. You've got virtually your daily allowance in one can. It's horrendous.
I'm not a fan of anything. See, the thing is, also, if you drink the stuff that doesn't have any sugar in it, your body, in fact, when you drink things like diet versions of colas, your body thinks it's going to be getting some sugar, and that can also mess your system up, because it thinks it's going to get it, and it's not. Just give us again the very quick things, if people are at home thinking, I might be diabetic, just give us the symptoms again.
The first one that you'll tend to meet, I said, is this tiredness and sleepiness, because the sugar is in your bloodstream, but it's not actually getting into your muscles, which makes you feel tired.
And that's normally after eating midday?
It gets worse after eating, because you've got more sugar running around the bloodstream and not being used. That's the first one that comes up. It can, I said, ultimately, for a number of people, mean you just fall asleep. And even in children, we find at school, for example, that you'll find a child asleep at the desk. Well, the first thing to be careful of is, why? Is it because they've not had enough sleep at home? Or is it because they have diabetes? And it can happen, particularly if it happens on a recurring basis. But so the tiredness is one. The body, if it gets too much sugar, wants to get rid of it. And one of the ways it does it, it makes you think you're thirsty, which makes you drink more, which makes you want to urinate more. So that's another symptom. You find yourself getting up 3 times a night, not because you've had children or you're pregnant, but because you're there. It's got a good possibility that it might be that. So we're looking at that symptom. Some people lose weight, particularly if it's type 1 diabetes. They can lose weight quite rapidly. So that's another symptom. If you're losing weight fast, then go and see your doctor and have a look at it. What we're doing is on Saturday, there will be the opportunity to have your blood sugars tested.
And it's just like a little click, isn't it?
It's a little prick in the finger. They can test it immediately to see what the level is. it's not a perfect test because it only measures you at that instant.
Yeah.
Ultimately, when you if that proves a bit of a warning, you go to your doctor and he can do a test which in fact covers your blood will tell you for the last 3 months what the sugar levels have been, which is far more accurate in terms of how it goes. Yeah. I won't go into the details of how that happens, but it does actually give you a three-month test and says, now over the last 3 months, your sugar levels are averaging this amount, and therefore that's too high.
Yeah.
So it gives you a good check on it. Cure is still a long way off. We're beginning to identify reasons or things to do with it. For example, we know from a genetic point of view, if one twin gets diabetes, there's a high percentage chance that the other one will. So there's a genetic element we know, but we haven't identified what it is that causes it. We know that weight has a factor and exercise has a factor, but they still can't identify exactly. What we are getting advances on is ways to manage that diabetes. We're getting an artificial pancreas being created. We're getting cells which can recreate themselves in the pancreas. We're finding better pills to take which will deal with certain circumstances. Albeit, funnily enough, the major pill that we all use in diabetes type 2 is metformin, which has been around for 40 years, and they still can't find anything better. It's brilliant, and it does its job.
But
there's a lot of research going on in that area. We're doing a lot of research, particularly with teenagers, particularly when they get to the point of going off to university or leaving home, where control becomes less.
Yeah.
And they become very ill, and we've had two or three deaths in Brentwood in the last few years from teenagers with diabetes. We're trying to look into that, but better ways to manage that, better ways to look after people. So it's in all areas that we're looking at in research. But I think cure or prevention is still a long long way away. We're still increasing. We're still talking about 10 million people in Britain have got diabetes, and there's another million who don't know they've got diabetes. That's frightening. And let's say we've got 3,000 in Brentwood with diabetes, and probably another 300 who don't know they've got diabetes. That's quite, you know, a substantial amount. And but the quicker we find them, the quicker it's identified, the better chance we have of reducing the damage that's done, because once you have diabetes, the damage is constant and permanent. It just keeps going on. You can't reverse it. We're trying hard to find ways to reverse it, but it isn't working that well at the moment. But we need for people to be identified much more early, so they need to look out for these symptoms. They need to check it out with their doctor as quickly as possible, because the quicker we get it, the more chance we have of making it at least manageable. Now we do know, you know, of Olympic rowers who have diabetes. I still go scuba diving. I'm 70 years old. It doesn't need to stop you leading a normal life if you manage it correctly.
And I think that's
ignore it at your peril.
I think that's an important aspect of diabetes. It's something that you have to be you have to educate yourself how to manage your life. And we hold meetings every month to encourage people to come along and to discuss that and to learn about managing your condition and how it, because each of us manage it slightly differently. It's not one, it's not one size fits all. So, and people do ignore it. They think, oh, well, I've come out of the doctor's, I've been told I've had diabetes, but I don't actually feel any different than when I went in, so it can't be that bad. And it's not an it's not always an immediate problem. If you've got a major pain, for argument's sake, you go to the doctor and he does something and you get rid of the pain, or it's not that sort of thing. It's a slow burn. So you've got to learn to manage your own diet, your own life, and to learn about it. And that's the self-education. We, one of the things we try and do, we meet on the third Thursday every month in Brentwood, and we have a meeting and we try and educate people about that self-management. So, and I think the most important thing that, that Malcolm said there was, if you have diabetes and you manage it, you can live an ordinary, normal life. You are not, you know, you're not sort of consigned to some scrap heap. You can live a normal life, but you do have to take control and manage that condition.
Now, my mum's 86, so you're a youngster's compared to my mum, who's diabetic. She's type 2 diabetes, and she manages it. She takes tablets, and she's not overweight. She used to be when she was younger, but she's not overweight. Takes the tablets, and if she wants a little bit now and again with food, she knows days when she can do that and have a little bit.
Absolutely.
And there's days when she can't, but she has to make sure she eats on a regular basis, so you keep your sugar level sort of balanced.
Knowledge.
Most beautiful feet, you'll know what I'm talking about. They're going, what are you on about? It's when you've got diabetes, you can get problems with your feet. But they always say to her, and she paints her toenails as well at 86, and they're lovely. Wonderful feet. I'll tell her I've spoken to you. I'm talking about her feet. Now, the good thing about the fun day, if you've got, now men are normally really difficult to get to go to the doctors anyway. So with this fun day, if you're going at the weekend, and we're going to tell you how you can go along, bring your granddad, bring your dad, bring your brother, because men are hopeless at going to the doctors. And if you suspect your partner or your dad or your granddad might be diabetic, come out for the day. We're going for a fun day. Come into Brentwood, because women will go to the doctors every 5 minutes to get sorted out. Men are dreadful. So this is a good idea to get them to come along. So tell us, it's on Saturday the 10th, so it's this Saturday at the Baytree Centre, and it'll be from 10 through till 4. So tell us all about what's happening.
Okay, well, it's going to be opened by the Mayor of Brentwood, and we're very pleased that she's agreed to come along and open it for us.
Yep.
There's going to be live music. And there's going to be various other things. There's competitions such as Guess the Balloons in the Car is one of the competitions. There's raffles. There's fun things for kids to do and for people to do. There's a golf game, and there's all sorts of things going on. There's a cartoon character walkabout that they can walk about. They can have selfie photographs with the Spider-Man and things like that. There's caterers who are coming along, and there'll be burgers and hot dogs and cream teas available and sort of things like that. As well as all of the fun bits going on, there is also you can have a flower, which we're promoting, a gerber flower, which is like a freak flower, and that's in the diabetics colours. So that's something that we're trying to, and we're going to try and paint the town blue for the day. That's what we're trying to do. Instead of paint the town red, we're going to paint it blue, because that's the colours. And also, in addition to that, there'll be the opportunities, we've already said, for health checks. There'll be people who do that. There'll be people, Essex Lifestyle are coming along to do health checks and blood pressure checks and general conditions. There'll be other things going on as far as that's concerned. There's podiatry coming along. There's eye testing, all those kind of things. So it's yes, we want to raise money. Yes, we want to have a fun day. Yes, we want to get people along. Even if you haven't got diabetes, come and have a bit of fun. Come and support, because the research into this condition is so vital, and a lot of the money is provided not from government, but is provided by voluntary donations.
Yeah.
So that's what we're trying to do. But more importantly, you know, come along and have a great time. But if you want to get checked out, if you what have you, then fantastic, you can do that as well.
And I think I'd just add to those who already have diabetes, we've got nurses and people from Diabetes UK there for the day. If they have problems, if they're not sure about something or about the treatment they're getting or not getting, we're there to help. We are in quite constant contact with our own NHS people around us, so hopefully we can help and point them in the right direction as to where they can get the help they need.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank
really
you
nice
much.
To meet you.
And you. Thank
nice
you very much indeed.
You're welcome.
Thank
so we've you. Got live music coming up.